Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where for over 4 years we've been asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show today. In today's show, we're going to discuss social media tactics for franchisors, including how to use social media tools, how to effectively drive franchise leads, and the do's and don'ts that franchisors should know when using social media. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interview. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Who's helping build America one small business at a time? Franchise Inc., a free consulting service.
For years, Franchise Inc., a national company, has been helping people franchise their business concept and help folks like you own a franchise.
With over 2,500 franchise systems out there, it can be awfully confusing. Don't take chances with your future. At Franchise Inc., we've done the homework for you. We can help match your interests and background with the franchise that's right for you. And we only work with proven franchise systems with a solid reputation and track record of success.
The consultants at Franchise Inc. can help you with your short and long-term wealth strategy.
Give us a call today and we'll send you free our best-selling book, Solving the Puzzle of Owning a Franchise.
Remember, it's not just owning a franchise, but finding the right one for you. Call us at 800-961-0420 for a quick consultation to discuss what's important to you, your business, and your future.
The service is free. The book is free. What do you have to lose? Find the business that's right for you.
Call Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420. That's Franchise Inc. at 800-961-0420.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs of 1-1. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today's show is being brought to you by Franchise Times Magazine. Franchise Times is the only magazine that targets both franchisors and multi-unit franchisees, and is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. How are you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing fine this week, Marty. How about yourself? How are you?
Good, good. Show kind of a... Snuck up on us this week, didn't it?
Yeah, well, with the 3-day weekend, We're used to having the show a little later in the week after a few days, so yeah. But the show must go on. Like
exactly.
You said, in our fourth year, getting closer to 200 shows, and we've got a real interesting show today.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Today's show is definitely a little different. Our last show, Don, we met with Taylor Bond, CEO of Children's Orchard and also Newcomers, and founded in 1980. Children's Orchard is the nation's first franchise of gently used and new name brand children's items. I thought this was a great show. I thought Taylor did a great job in discussing both franchise opportunities, and I think this is something that you and I can relate to, really, for both franchise opportunities. Do you have any thoughts on last week?
Well, yeah, you're right. Both of us with young children.
Yeah.
And with our seeing our wives going out and, you know, just like with anything else, just trying to, with kids growing, you always have to make sure they have clothes and so forth. And that stuff can get to be pretty expensive. Children's Orchard really provides everything. I think he said they also sell shoes and seem like they have a wide variety, good pricing. They have a real niche just in that type of clothing. And supply. I'm not surprised. They've been around a long time. They've been successful, and you know, they have that nice, slow, sustained growth that we always talk about. And like, I think they've been franchising since '85.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I think it was like '85. Yeah. So they've been doing it. I mean, think about it. This was what 30 years, as you were saying. I mean, it's a milestone.
Right.
It was interesting when Taylor was discussing, you know, Children's Orchard. Some people will actually come in, Don, and I can definitely relate to this because, and you know this, if you get a gift sometimes for your children, sometimes they don't get to wear it, and the price tag is still on it, you know? I know we have stuff in Martin's closet that probably still has the price tag on it, and he outgrew it already, you know, so he never even got a chance to wear it, you know what I mean? So it's one of those things. It's, you know, kids are expensive, and... I've always been a big fan of this model, so I'm glad that we had Taylor on the show, you know, and I'd like to, you know, continue following their success and, you know, watch them as they continue to grow.
Definitely.
So I thought
good
he did
guy.
A great job.
Yeah.
He was
very enthusiastic, too.
He really was, and that's, you know, and that's what you love when you have, you know, like the founders or the CEOs on the show, you know, sometimes they're just so passionate, you know, about their franchising. This Newcomers franchise opportunity, I thought that was interesting as well for, you know, we haven't had a lot of low-cost franchise opportunities on our show, you know, in the 4 years that we've been doing this. I think this might have even been the lowest on. I think it was a startup cost of like around or $10,000. Perhaps,
right.
You know, and it's an interesting business model. It's one of those work-from-home opportunities. It's targeting new residents. You know, when you move to a new area, you know, you're in need of a pizza store and a cleaners and a dentist and all those other things. And a lot of times you just don't know who to turn to. And this service actually comes to your home. And, you know, they talk about all these, you know, great retailers that are in the area. So,
and services, they get you more comfortable, get you knowing your local area. More people than ever are moving, and it's a nice intro to let them know about Children's Orchard. I think it's interesting.
That's true, yeah. And I know you were up late last night, you know, was it 2 o'clock for current events? Yeah, I know you're
or 3,
this week,
yeah.
Get those in. So I know he has a couple interesting ones that we needed to discuss.
Yeah, well, first, you know, we'll mention again, we're always trying to let our audience know of franchise shows coming up. And
right.
People can go to US Franchise Expos, that's with an S.com, to see upcoming shows in Chicago, Phoenix,
right.
In the Northern Virginia market, and in Dallas. And this weekend in Chicago, September 11th and 12th, and they'll see some upcoming franchise shows with franchisors exhibiting. And we've, you know, of course, I both exhibited and have been to those type of shows. They're very good shows.
Shows, you know.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that was a little smaller, too, Don, is what I like about that particular show that you're talking about now. In other words, you know, there's not like, you know, was it like 600 or 900 exhibitors, you know? I think it's a chance to get to speak to, you know, the franchisors or someone in franchise development face-to-face. And, you know, the theme is always, and we were talking about this last week, so I don't have to go over it again, but it's to go prepared, you know what I mean? Go is almost like you're going on a job interview, you know, because
right.
You were saying last week it is that relationship. It's a two-way street, you know. They don't have to accept you, so you know, take that into consideration.
Yeah, the franchisor being pressed if, you know, some information about the franchise you're looking into, it's always a good idea. You know, sometimes even, I'm not saying have a resume, but be prepared to talk about, you know, what you've done in the past and why you think, you know, that franchise and the services would be a good fit for your background. So just, just a little tip from you and I have been in franchising a while and been to many of the shows.
Yeah, I think it's okay to bring your resume too, Don, you know, and I think what, you know, the worst question you can ever ask to, you know, anyone at a franchise show is, what do you guys do? You know, because that just shows automatically that you're not prepared, you know.
Right.
You know, study, you can easily get the list of who's going to be exhibiting at any of these shows. The show that you're mentioning in Chicago, there's a list posted up there as far as who's exhibiting at that particular show. So you can kind of go prepared and say, okay, I want to speak to these five different franchisors. And, you know, then it's okay from there to walk around. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find. But, yeah, definitely interesting.
Yeah.
Good advice.
I found an interesting article, Marty, through Franchise Business Review by Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center, Common Franchise Myths Debunked. And, yeah, it was interesting. I was thinking of you when I was reading this. First one is, all chain restaurants are franchises. Whenever people see a chain restaurant from Outback to Olive Garden, they always assume it is a franchise unit. However, there are two business models that these chains commonly use. The first involves selling franchises, and the other involves hiring individual store managers to run corporate-owned locations. You might be surprised to learn that the following chains do not franchise: Cheesecake Factory, Lone Star Steakhouse, O'Charley's, and Bob Evans.
Yeah.
Those are some places that do not franchise, and I actually thought Bob Evans was a franchise, now that I think about it.
It is. It's interesting. There's a lot of, you know, common misperceptions out there, you know, of how many people go in there and they think, they say, oh, I want to own one of these one day, and you know, that's not going to happen unless they decide to franchise. And we could talk about this after the article, Don, you know, but there's reasons why, I guess, these companies don't franchise, you know. We can talk about that as well.
Next one is, buying a franchise means guaranteed success. Although your odds of success are statistically higher, with the franchise business, there are no guarantees. Even with a proven business concept, no business venture is without risks. Hundreds of franchise businesses do close every month. However, studies show that the most common reason a franchise fails is because they do not follow the system.
Mm-hmm.
That's been kind of our Bible and what we discussed just about on every show we've ever done, probably.
Which is why some of these... Well, I was just going to say, Don, I was going to say, like, why a Cheesecake Factory may not want to franchise, you know? I mean, could you imagine having a franchisee that didn't follow the system for a Cheesecake Factory? And, you know, that might be a difficult type of business to duplicate anyway. I'm sure there's so many variables that go on with that type of, you know, restaurant, you know?
Right.
I think some of the best franchises are the ones that are easy to follow, so... That's a good point.
Have you ever been to Cheesecake Factory?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. I've probably been to the same one that you've been to. Is it? Have you been to one in Menlo Park, New Jersey?
No, I was in
one down
south,
your way.
They're all very busy. They do a pretty good job there.
Oh, they're amazing, yeah, absolutely.
The next one is, it's wasteful to invest in a franchise. Just open your own business. All franchises have an initial fee that must be paid to open a location, and some people may view this as a waste of money. However, studies show that nearly 95% of franchise businesses remain open for at least 5 years, and 94% of franchise business owners consider themselves successful. The money you give the franchisor lets you in on a proven business model that will make your business much more likely to succeed. The next one, Starbucks is the world's largest coffee franchise. As we mentioned earlier, there are two business models used by large chains, and although many people assume Starbucks franchises their stores, they actually do not. The only Starbucks locations that are not corporate-owned are those inside hotels and grocery stores.
Wow. What do you think of that? I mean, can you think of the reasons why they don't? I mean, if Starbucks decided to franchise, if Starbucks decided to franchise today, how many do you think they could sell? You know what I mean?
Or if they convert their corporate locations. Maybe one day they'll go to that model. I don't know. It's kind of unusual to have that many locations and not at least have a percentage franchise. But, hey, they've been successful.
Right.
Well, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they ever do start franchising.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The next one, Marty, you need to be wealthy already to invest in a franchise. Although it can cost tens of thousands of dollars or even hundreds of thousands, depending on the specific franchise, you do not necessarily need to have that much in your bank account. There are multiple different ways you can finance a franchise, including personal loans, self-directed investments, small business administration loans, home equity loans.
Well, isn't it easier to finance too, Don? I mean, you know that, you know, better than I do. But, I mean, again, when you're looking at the statistics, you know, that you read earlier, I mean, wouldn't it be easier to obtain financing, like in an SBA, versus you and I just saying, okay, we're going to open up our own Don and Marty's coffee shop. You know, we're going to compete
right.
with Starbucks. We don't really have a system in place. You know, we're just going to kind of wing things here and there and, you know, hope for the best. I mean, who's got a better shot of getting financing, you know, Dunkin' Donuts or Don and Marty's?
Good point. Yeah, that's why I mainly stick to franchise financing.
Right.
You know, because of that very reason. Has a lower failure rate. The next one, Marty, running a franchise business is easy. Unfortunately, too many people around the country think they open up a franchise and, hey, it's a big name. People are going to be flocking to their location. It's just, you know, that does happen, unfortunately, to a lot of people who maybe don't do enough due diligence. They think just the business
right.
name will, but they might not choose the right location. They might
mm-hmm.
not sign the right type of lease. They might not put in the right type of time to run the business, might not hire the right type of employees. It says here, although a franchisor will provide the franchisee with training and direction, the day-to-day
right.
operation of the store is your responsibility as the owner. There's no such thing as an easy business opportunity, and even with a business plan proven to be successful, you're still going to have trials along the way.
I think that's the biggest one, Don, is you know, that it's going to be easy. One of my favorite stories in the, you know, 4 years we've been doing the show, you were telling the story about a guy from Subway, you know, which I've probably referenced, you know, two or three times already up to this point. But you can see the impact that it's made, that here was a guy who buys a Subway franchise. And, again, it's with some sources, they're the number one franchise opportunity. Could be in the world. You know, you can go as far as sometimes saying that. You know, here, the number one franchise. And the guy was working 70, 80 hours a week the first year, okay? The first year was very, very difficult. Now, here, Subway has brand recognition. It has an incredible system. And so the guy was working all these hours. I think he was surprised, too. Now I think he's doing well now, and he's pleased, you know, at how things are going, and it's kind of running, I'm going to say, on its own. But I don't think he's working 78 hours a week anymore. I think the first year, you know, you do have to be prepared for what's
right.
going to happen, you know, mentally and physically.
Yeah. I don't think that person was profitable for the first couple of years, believe it or not.
Subway. Everybody knows Subway, you know. I mean,
right.
you say, how is that possible? But sometimes people think that, you know, they're just going to open their doors and people are just going to come, and it doesn't
right.
happen that way. It really is amazing. So that is a common misperception.
Right.
You know, and that's the beauty of our show is, you know, we give people the good, the bad, and the ugly. What's going to happen, you know? And
right.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Next one, Marty, bigger is always better. When it comes to selecting a franchise to invest in, yes, a big recognizable brand can generate almost instant customers. However, these established franchises often have much higher fees and can be difficult to work with. Some actually prefer smaller franchises that they're easier to work and can have a more personal touch.
Yeah, I, and I'm sure you agree with that, Don. You know,
right.
Spoken about that in the past, you know, I think there's two different types of franchisees. I think the smaller systems, you have more, you can use more of your entrepreneurial spirit, so you can say, where the big ones, you know, like let's say if it's a KFC or a McDonald's, there's no room for flexibility or creativity with those types of franchises. And try getting the CEO on the phone. That's not so easy to do. You know, when McDonald's has
right.
over 30,000 franchises or units across the world, and so does Subway, it's not easy to get someone like a Fred DeLuca on the phone, you know, and say,
right.
I want to talk to Fred about, you know, what happened at my store today. It's not going to happen. But with the smaller systems, you do get that, you know. So, you have to ask yourself what's most important to you. You know, and this is where sometimes the franchise consultant comes in that we've learned is they ask those questions, those deep-rooted questions. You know, what kind of franchise are you interested in? What do you want to do?
And you have to find out what you're interested in and what do you think you're going to like and what setting you're going to be comfortable in. People coming to you, or you having a business where you go out to people, maybe having a home-based business or a small office, and then what's your expansion potential? Subway's great, but you might open and you might not have much expansion potential unless a nearby Subway is selling and stuff like that.
You've got
to consider everything.
Oh, absolutely.
Last one on here, Marty. Higher initial fees means better odds of success. The old saying, the more money you invest, the more money you make, is definitely not true when it comes to franchises. Just because the initial fee is high does not mean you will have better odds of success. As we mentioned before, all business ventures include risk. There's never a guarantee that you'll be successful no matter what the franchisor tells you. So that's an interesting one. There's people I talk to during the everyday with financing, and I see sometimes they aren't qualified to invest in a certain size franchise, and I let them know they have to go with a less expensive franchise.
Right.
That sometimes means that you could – that doesn't mean that you're going to have lower – first-year sales or lower profit margin, you might even be able to do better. A franchise that might only cost $75,000 to $100,000, you can end up doing much more in first-year sales, has a higher profit margin, better return on investment than something costing a few hundred thousand. So these are all things you have to look into as you're doing your due diligence, to look at all this stuff, competition in the area.
It's so much work, Don. It really is, isn't it? I mean, the one, thing that I've become educated in doing the show is how much work all of this is, and I know if it was me, a prospective franchisee, I know it's going to take, 6 to 9 months, I think, to actually, come to a reasonable and intelligent decision which franchise is for you. There's just, it's so much work. It's almost like a full-time job. When you look at the research, I suspect that a lot of people don't do their homework like they should. I think sometimes they take some chances, and I think that's sometimes why there's a mismatch. When you buy a franchise, is they probably could have done a little better with maybe another system, just because it wasn't the best match for them. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you really do have to have that match.
Good point. But that was, that's interesting. Was there about 8 common franchise myths that a lot of people just assume? So I'm glad we were able to get this article on the show and get it in the archive.
Where'd you get that article, Don, by the way? I was just curious. I know you mentioned in the beginning and it kind of...
Well, it's put together by Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center Franchise and presented through FranchiseBusinessReview.com.
Ah, great.
Yeah, this was the last article before I fell asleep at 3 a.m. last night.
There you go. Well, it's a great article. I mean, it was one of the best that we've read. The articles that you bring to the table in segment one, are just so informative, and I can't tell you how many emails we get, from people, thanking us on the first segment, because
right. Even if they're good practical advice type articles, because we're always getting new listeners and first time people considering buying a franchise or business. So,
and that's what we have to remember. And it's a fact that today we have new listeners, listening to the show right now as we speak, and this is the first time, they're hearing, not only say they're hearing the word franchise, but they're new to, the world of franchising. And that's why it's so good to go back to the basics. Sometimes I think I forget anyway, to go back to the most basic elements of franchising. And we got to keep sending out that message. What you're getting is a system, brand name recognition. It's not for everybody. Due diligence, as you probably say every show, and, things of that nature. And just kind of like beating it into our listeners' heads, because we do believe in this thing. But, again, it's definitely not for everybody, that's for sure.
Right.
Did you have another one? Or?
Yeah, I have something else. Not sure how much we'll be able to get through it. This is through womenentrepreneur.com, how to build trust between the franchisor and franchisee. And it starts off, according to author and professor Stephen Covey, Research shows that trust within businesses is on the decline. Only 28% of employees believe CEOs are a credible source of information.
Really?
Which makes me very nervous as a small business owner starting off my day. Downstairs, only a couple of my employees will think I'm smarter and a credible source of information. When franchise partners don't trust their corporate team, it may take longer to complete projects. Most professionals in the franchise and business world would agree that trust is a vital element for a successful relationship between a franchise system and its franchise partners, whether on an individual level or between the franchisor and its franchise partners as a whole. In 2009, this was written by Catherine Monson, who's the FastSign CEO. She says, in 2009, I dealt with this very set of challenges when I took the CEO position for FastSigns International, one of the most successful sign franchises, the worldwide franchisor of more than 500 full-service sign and graphic centers. I entered into this leadership role in one of the worst economic climates in recent history with a company that was experiencing its first double-digit sales decline. Additionally, a lack of trust had formed between the franchise partners and the corporate team. The franchise partners were distressed and feeling as though their questions and concerns were not being heard. I knew I needed to immediately begin developing rapport and trust among the franchise partners in order to reestablish communication and motivate the company. Regardless of the economy, every franchisor should be working continuously to improve operations and efficiency so that the franchise partners can maximize their profits. Someone listening, looking to invest in a franchise, you're going to want to, especially in a smaller size franchise, ask these type of questions and find out what's been happening. The FDD will supply, if they have an item 19, how the franchise is doing, financially. But you want to find out trends and how the franchise system's been doing the last year or two. And when you call up other franchisees, you'll, hear whether someone's happy or not and how their business is doing. She goes on here, Marty, you can no longer take the attitude, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Listening to franchise partners is a great way to generate ideas and learn best practices. So we began actively reaching out to franchise partners, not only listening to their concerns, but involving them in corporate decisions. Since their feedback comes from their experiences on the front lines, it provides great value and can teach you a lot about what works and what doesn't.
Right.
I guess she listed a few things that they ended up doing. She set up a franchise system road tour. One of her first objectives was to initiate a strategy that would put them face-to-face with as many franchise partners as possible. And the goal was to reestablish the relationship with them and earn back their trust. Right. As a result, they implemented a 5-month, 28-city North American tour. North American Town Hall Tour, during which she met in person with as many franchise partners as possible to engage in dialogue and share ideas, boost morale, all that stuff.
Right, right.
They also, made sure they hold annual conventions. If your franchise system holds an annual convention or meetings within the field throughout the year, take the opportunity to sit down with them. We'll finish this article next week, just good articles between the franchisee and franchisor relationships.
Yeah, it's an excellent article. I mean, you said a lot of key, terms and words that I want to go deeper into next week. You mentioned best practices too, Don. I mean, it's one of the things I love about franchising. We've heard in many instances of franchisees, sharing best practices, with other franchisees, I mean, that's power. You don't get that when you're on your own, do you? You mentioned words like trust, which are so important when we're talking about franchising and things like that. It's another great article that I want to discuss. So I see our guest Kevin and Nick have called in, Don. So why don't we do this? We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews. Coming up in segment two, we're going to discuss social media tactics for franchisors, including how to use social media tools, how to effectively drive franchise leads, and the do's and don'ts that franchisors should know when using social media. We're meeting with Kevin Downs, Wireless Zone's Director of Marketing, and Nick Pallas of No Limit Media Consulting, and that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews.
Okay, You've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as the consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic, where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneurs who own one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Kevin Downs, Wireless Zone's Director of Marketing. And founded in 1988 as the Car Phone Store, Wireless Zone has become the nation's largest premium wireless retail franchisor and was ranked number one franchise in its category by Entrepreneur Magazine. And we're also meeting with Nick Powers of No Limit Media Consulting. And No Limit Media Consulting is a progressive communications firm specializing in public relations and also social media. Hi, Kevin. Hi, Nick. Welcome to the show.
How's it going?
Good, good. It's going well. Is that Nick or is that Kevin?
That's Nick. Kevin, you there?
I don't hear him, Nick, so that's okay.
Might just be Nick for now.
Okay, it's okay. It's always good to distinguish the voices, Nick. And Nick, joining us
is my co-host, Don Johnson. Don is the co-host and then president of Diamond Financial Services. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Nick. Good morning.
Yeah.
Anything to do with you know, with marketing really excites Marty and I. So we're been looking forward to having you both on and hearing about your company and services and how you're helping other businesses.
Absolutely, I'm glad to be on your guys' show.
Thanks, Nick. Nick, I thought I could start off. What is it? What is your history in franchising, and how did you come to specialize in social media and public relations for franchises?
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's kind of a freak accident. I was a music journalist. I had toured the country as a writer with Rolling Stone magazine, and realized there was no money in journalism. And I think just like every franchisee realizes that franchising is very lucrative. Made a switch, went to the dark side, not understanding what PR or franchising was. I knew what McDonald's was. And I worked at the largest PR firm in franchising for about 5 years in Chicago. And then decided, I guess similarly to franchisees, that it was time to do my own thing. So jumped out in March of 2008, moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where just looking at a map of where the most franchise brands are, that seemed the most relevant place to start a business, moved here, and now 2.5 years later, we have 14 employees, and we represent over 30 franchise brands.
Wow, that's great.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, congratulations.
Great work,
on
just
it.
A few years.
Yeah, is there something you like about franchising, Nick? I mean, a lot of times, you know, it's amazing how we find, this was last week's show too, Don, how, you know, sometimes people get out of franchising and then they come back to it. Is there something in particular that you like about franchising, Nick? Or?
Yeah, you know, the PR firms that kind of laid the way for PR and franchising, the Fishmans and the Sandersons, they really laid a good groundwork for, here's your opportunity where you're helping franchisors grow their brands, and you're in fact using inspirational connections of the franchisee to do so. At the same time, you're helping franchisees drive sales at their store level. I really enjoy the ability to help drive sales for someone. That was one. And secondly, when you're doing PR for a band, you're doing a PR for even a local restaurant, the ROI is limited, whereas when you're working for a franchisor, if I can help you sell just one franchise over the next year, you're going to make money back on what you invested into a PR or social media program. The whole fighting for the entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur, being in the barracks with them, being able to connect with them, trying to discover what is the new forms of communication have all been exciting and have kept me connected into franchising, and really the fact that everyone kind of comes from an entrepreneurial background, which I think that was in the blood from the second I came out of the womb.
How has the outlook on social media changed in the past few years in franchising, Nick?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, when we started messing around with social media, it was really a way that we could provide more results to our clients. Stan Friedman, who I think you guys have had on the show, he came from Wing Zone and Maggie News. He was at a new brand, and they had zero units at the time. So going after a Wall Street Journal or a USA Today was going to be a little more difficult because he had no credibility established on his own. And this is back in March of 2008. And I said, well, let's try blogging. Let's start as a baby step, because if Google owns Blogger and we can distribute credible content out there on a weekly basis to really support the due diligence of a prospect and a prospect on the media side, we're going to be able to impact both franchisees and the media positively. And it started working well. We got him on national TV fairly quickly, and when talking to the producer at Fox Business, they said, look, we read the blog. We like what he's saying. So it earned him credibility. From there, it took off. We have the ability to work with a brand. They have 400 units out of Atlanta, Huddle House. The CEO gave me basically a wide-open landscape to play with and started using the Facebooks and the Twitters to try to develop it. Now, this is a critical part of the franchise lead generation process because you can interact with people in the comfort of their own homes, in their personal spaces. So now, in today's age, flash forward 2.5 years, we have the ability to go after conversions through LinkedIn, finding matched profiles, and just introducing the brand. We have the ability to support the due diligence of a prospect that now when I search for Wing Zone and I see I love to eat here, I love to work here, I love being a franchisee, in a Facebook where it's coming from third-party testimonials, all of a sudden, interest is peaked. So it's really the future, it's a bump in the step to the future of communications. I think over the last 2 years, the portals have obviously change. They're not working as well of a sales lead generator as they used to, and they haven't adapted yet. So social media is a critical part, but it takes time, it takes strategy, it takes really looking at the big picture before you jump into it. And frankly, even when we get a franchisor today coming to us and saying, Nick, let's get into social media, we wanted to use this to help our existing franchisees, new franchisees, and customers. Frankly, franchisors are well behind the curve, so a lot of them don't have any landscape out there yet, which makes our job a little bit easier. Long answer, but
yeah. Good answer, yeah.
What are some of the first steps, Nick, a franchise brand decides to get involved in social media?
Well, I think every franchise brand has now made the decision to get into social media, and many of them are taking the route of maybe we hire an intern, maybe we push this off onto a marketing coordinator. Those things are okay steps, but you need to know or have someone running your program that really understands franchise development, franchise speak, and the way you talk and communicate with consumers. So a lot of franchisors, when they're trying to evaluate what is the first step into jumping into social media, they say, well, we just got to be in there. But really, it's laying down a strategy, and frankly, it's laying down a policy. I've seen a lot of franchisors start trying to figure out what is the best practice for how much can we allow our franchisees to be in this space, can we allow them to be in the space? And frankly, I think it's much like when websites became popular in the early to mid-90s, I went out and said, I want BurgerKingChicago.com as a franchisee in Chicago. And all of a sudden the franchisor goes, wait. No. We own the trademark. We'll have the .com. We'll provide you support there. So the two practices that have ultimately come out of this is either, look, we're going to own the main Facebook page. We're going to be able to deliver all those unique connections within your community through the back end of a Facebook fan page or a Twitter or a blogger. But we don't want you having it, or if we want you having it, we're monitoring it closely. We'll build it. We'll teach you the tools, but the second you stop interacting, we're stepping in. So strategy is the big key. Time is the big key in determining who's going to manage your communication tool is a big part of determining when you're ready to go into social media.
Right. Nick, what are the most effective social media outlets or tools for franchisors to use in your experience the last couple of years?
Well, on the development side, hands down, LinkedIn. I think a lot of people went into LinkedIn initially because it was a baby step in social media. The thing is, their personal email addresses are still attached to these. So if you get a message from LinkedIn that says, Nick, or, you know, Philly Pretzel Factory is trying to communicate with you, you're a little bit more willing. You don't see the spam. And very carefully constructed first paragraph that went in there, now I'm, okay, I've never thought about that. LinkedIn's number one. Facebook's okay. Twitter does not do much for franchise lead generation. But again, all these pieces are part of the due diligence. I think every franchise development guy out there has always asked, what is that magic bullet? It never existed. The portals covered it up for a moment, but it's never existed. This is a part of your campaign, as is PR, as is advertising, as is the way you market your message, as the way you deliver the message, as is how you leverage your existing franchisees. It's just a piece of the puzzle. But if you're doing straight development, LinkedIn, everything else is really a support tool for the due diligence.
Wow. Interesting. What do you think is going to happen to all these portals, Nick? I mean, it's funny. Back in 1999, I started one of the first franchise portals. It was called Franchise America. And, I mean, today it seems like there's, I don't know, there must be 100, 200 of them. I don't know how franchise. I know I'm not involved in that part of the business anymore, but I don't know the difference between one or the other. It seems like, what do you think is going to happen to them? I mean, are they going to have to get into this, or are they just going to give away? I mean, we understand that, you know, Don and I have heard that a lot of them are struggling.
Right. Well, here's the thing. I don't think they're going to go away because they own SEO power. When you put your brand on there, you're instantly going to be lifted up to that first page of a Google search. Not sure that's the most credible thing, but it creates another point. Plus, on the back end, over last year, we talked with about 500 franchisees on the PR side and talked to them a lot about how are these portals working. And I said, look, I saw a brand on a portal. I went to their website and filled it out. So it's still leading people in.
Right.
I will give the secret, and I'm surprised no portal has done this. If a franchise gator, for instance, would change the way that they communicate their message to being really franchisee-focused and add in not as intense of a LinkedIn or a Facebook profile feature, but so the franchisees can watch and monitor the brands, and the brand profiles turn more into a feed of what is going on the brand, all of a sudden these could be good tools that need to be used in the development process. But I think a lot of the portals, that's a huge investment to change your format. And the research and the time and the energy, everything that would go into it is pretty difficult. But one of them is going to have to do this to survive into the next wave of communications. If I can go to a portal and see, okay, they were featured in all this media, here's what some of their franchisees say about them, here's what their customers say, good and bad, it's a good tool. So I hope that one of them adapts, but adaptation is necessary in any business, and I think it's time that the portals step into social media or networking or something to change the way that they communicate the message so that they can continue to be profitable.
That's interesting. Have you had any clear-cut examples, Nick, of social media use driving franchise leads for your clients?
Yeah, that's the big million-dollar question that I get all the time. You know, It takes a while because, look, again, the beauty of the portal is when they fill out an application, they're instantly connected. They're saying, look, I want to explore this. In social media, it's taken a little bit more time because now I got introduced to the brand, but now I'm going to go through the homework stages. And the homework stages take between 1 and 3 months typically. So with the LinkedIn stuff, it is starting to pour in leads. And it's fun. We have a client completely start off. Called We Do Lines, and they're a parking lot striping franchise, which their name helps them market it, period. But anyway, they use LinkedIn as a tool to go after existing folks in parking lot striping because there was really no franchise to connect it to have synergy in marketing and, you know, everything connected that a franchisor would bring. So we've proactively reached out to many people within LinkedIn, and now they're coming, and when they fill out the application, it says, how did you find us? And they write in their LinkedIn. So LinkedIn's done great. Facebook, I would say, has drawn a few people in across the brands, or on an average across the brands that we represent. LinkedIn's the strongest tool, but it is working, and it is driving leads, and typically they tend to be a little bit more credible and qualified, because we're searching for those backgrounds within what their resume suggests.
Exactly. That's interesting. Nick, we have to take a quick break. Are you able to stick around for another segment?
Yeah, I'm good. Absolutely.
Great. And we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Franchise interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchise entrepreneurs 101. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we have a great show today. We're meeting with Nick Palace of No Limit Media Consulting. And No Limit Media Consulting is a progressive communications firm specializing in public relations and social media. Working exclusively with franchisors, No Limit uses innovative tactics to drive franchise leads for its clients and create an unmatched consumer buzz. And Don, I think you're up.
Yeah, Nick, what do you suggest on how franchisors can get their franchisees more involved in all this?
Yeah, it's a careful balancing act, because when you release rights to your trademark, you're giving up a lot of flexibility. So should that franchisee ever become disgruntled and leave your system, you now said, okay, franchisee, go create your landscape. And if they're disgruntled, they're going to use that as negative down the line. The other problem, and this is pretty much true for every franchisee, with the exception of maybe five or six that I've ever worked with over the last 2.5 years, 30 days in, they're putting postings, they're offering marketing specials, they're really interacting with their guests. Yeah. At that 30-day mark, they have to go back to front of their own business. They're done. Postings turn to once a week, once a month, once a year, and then those pages are left there forever. So we've been testing out a lot of different theories, because we do understand franchisees like the idea of using a Facebook fan page to connect with their fans in their local community, and they feel they can connect a little bit closer to their community than the franchisor can, because they're living and breathing that market. So what we've done is we've started creating pages, testing it out still, but creating pages for specific locations, mirroring a lot of what's happening on the corporate fan page, and us still being an administrator, so that we still have control over the page. Now it's us and them in the barracks together doing the social media footprinting. Therefore, we're making sure there's always content, daily content, and when they have specials, they post that on there. It's working well. I have seen a lot of marketing companies come up with these content generators that, hey, you can manage 400 pages of your franchisees through our system. Yeah, but that takes out the interactivity. That takes out the connection. If someone says, hey, I love Rita's water ice, and Rita's doesn't come back and say, hey, we love you too, thanks for being a great guest or customer, it loses that bond, and it just turns into an advertising tool. So there's a lot of testing. So look, social media is still new for businesses. This is definitely not the be-all, end-all. I think a lot of the tools that exist today will be gone in the next 2 years. And another good key point to remember here is you don't own your fan page. Facebook does. So if Facebook changes their policy or their methods or their cost structure 2 years down the line when they're struggling or when they're changing their model, don't put all your eggs into one basket. That's other advice there. But all over the place there, and I know, and I'm a horrible interviewee, great coach. I can tell my franchisors how to do it, but my sound bites are so long.
Well, you said something interesting, Nick, that,
that
you know, technology and all this is really going to be changing a couple years, which is great for a business like yours because you always have to be letting your clients know what's the greatest and best thing for them to do to maximize their exposure and good PR and get more franchisees. That's a pretty interesting point you made up with everything changing so much. But what should be the overall goal for the franchisor then? With the, you know, what do you tell them initially, the short and long-term goals?
Well, the short term is to establish your footprint because since all these sites are being used so frequently and they have millions of users, they go up immediately to the top of the Google search. So the SEO value behind it is critical. So strengthen your footprint. Make sure that you're at least maintaining and responding to those who are communicating with you within these vehicles because it is going to influence your due diligence. Franchise prospects are going to find what your footprint is. That's what they're all telling us. Long-term goal, it should absolutely be a tool to drive franchise leads because if you're proactively reaching out, if you're proactively thinking outside the box, if you're proactively searching people's profiles to find like terms to that of your ideal candidate, it will drive franchise leads. So long-term, leads. Short-term, just making sure you have control of your footprint.
Wow. That's interesting. Nick, we have about 2 minutes. What's the best way for our listeners to get more information on your services? Are there any like websites they can go to? I know you have a lot of them. I know you guys are all over the place. But
yeah, and frankly, I made a point. Our footprint can never be stronger than that of one of our franchisors. So we always make sure that we're not in there too much. But we changed our website to discovernolimit.com strictly because Discovery Day, discover us there. On Facebook, you can find us. On Twitter, you can find us. All my employees are on there, too, and they love communicating about this, too. But I really appreciate you guys spending some time on this subject, and I don't think this will be the last time we talk about it because it will change in the next 6 months.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, this is an important topic, and it's something different for our show, too, Nick, which is why we're so excited to have you on the show today. You know, it's been fantastic. So I want to thank you again, Nick, and again, I guess we'll be talking to you in the future.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Nick.
Hey.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
It's a great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, and he was excellent at explaining it in a little simpler terms. And talking about the, you know, the future of it a little bit, and it seemed like they made a big impact in the industry after just a couple of years. He's been doing it for years, venturing on his own. I'm glad to hear he's having a lot of success.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what the future brings, you know, for all this like social media and things like that. And he made a good point with Facebook, didn't he? You know, as far as who actually owns it. I mean, Facebook owns the page, you know, so you never know what can happen. And don't put all your eggs in one basket. Just important lessons, you know, and I think I'd like to go a little deeper on this topic as well, so we're going to have to get Nick back on the show. But you did a good job in segment one today, Don, and for our listeners, go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, gofranchise.com, and I'll be talking to you next week, Don, with another great show.
Definitely. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great day.